Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Mobert. Today on Route 51, the talk turns to politics and the presidential campaign between John McCain and Barack Obama. During the next hour, we'll hear interviews recorded this week with the odd couple of politics, Democratic political activist James Carville and Republican political activist Mary Madeline, who somehow haven't let their opinions get in the way of their marriage. Carville was a former advisor to President Bill Clinton and candidate Hillary Clinton. Madeline, an advisor to President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. The two authors have a best-selling book called All's Fair, Love, War, and Running for President, and they will be appearing a week from today, on Friday, September 19th, as the featured guests at the George Reuter Forum at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Tickets are still available at 842-0988. Providing analysis today in our studio, former Marathon County Republican Chairman Kevin Hermaning, a John McCain supporter, and on the telephone, Democratic Convention Delegate Christine Bremer-Moogley, an Obama supporter. And as always, we want to hear from you. You can call us with your comments and opinions toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or if you are calling from the Wausau area, 261-6371. That's 261-6371. Christine, Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to get your respective views of the conventions that have just been completed. Christine, you were a delegate to the Democratic Convention in Denver. Tell us briefly how you came away from that experience, what your impressions were, and especially that final night when you were in that stadium with 80,000-plus supporters of Barack Obama.
Well, Glenn, I don't think I'm still over it. It was probably one of the most joyous experiences of my life, and some of my more cynical friends think I'm kidding, but I can tell you I wasn't a football player in high school, and I never stood in the middle of a stadium before like that and experienced 80,000-plus screaming people around me. So it was one of the most exciting, joyous experiences of my life. We had an absolutely wonderful delegation in Wisconsin, and I made a lot of new friends, and we had a lot of good discussions on issues. So for me, it was just a wonderful time and a great way to start the campaign.
Kevin Hermaning, watching the Republican convention from afar, your impressions of it and the obvious bounce that John McCain got from it.
Well, we actually, on Thursday night last week, had about 24 folks from our community in our office watching John McCain's convention's acceptance speech. Of course, it really was an opportunity for the Republicans to coalesce and unify. There was a lot of concern and uncertainty going into the convention about whether or not the people who supported, of course, Mitt Romney and Huckabee and Giuliani and the rest were going to coalesce behind him. And going into the convention, there wasn't a lot of doubt about that, but with the pick of Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska, certainly that kind of answered for the true believers, the doubters, if you will, of the real reformer message that John McCain was purportedly and we believe is going to bring to Washington, all that the rest of us needed.
And today, on Friday, September 12th, here are the polls. Associated Press, McCain 46, Obama 45. Hotline, Obama 45, McCain 44. Gallup Daily, McCain 48, Obama 45. Rasmussen, McCain 48, Obama 45. Research 2000, Obama 47, McCain 46. This race is very tight.
And it's been reported that it would be tight and analyzed to death that it's going to be tight right up until election night. We hope it won't be a 37-day election, though, like it was in 2000.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from James Carville and then get reaction from Kevin Hermaning and Christine Bremer-Moogley. If you'd like to stand in line, we're not going to get to phone calls for about another 12 minutes, but the lines are open at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobert. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
As I mentioned, James Carville and Mary Madeline will be the featured speakers at the George L. Reuter Forum, Grand Theater in Wausau, next Friday, a week from tonight. Tickets still available at 842-0988. Wisconsin Public Radio is a sponsor of that program. We've got Christine Bramer-Moogley, Kevin Hermaning with us, and they will be analyzing their comments. We're going to hear first from James Carville, and I started off by asking him about their relationship. And a question that a lot of people have is, how do you and Mary balance your private lives with your strong political beliefs? The difference between the two of you would have led most couples to divorce by now.
Well, it'd be, you know, assuming that we make it to Thanksgiving, it'll be 15 years. And, you know, we have a dust up every now and then, like most couples, but I think we've been, for the most part, been able to separate it. You know?
Do you talk politics at home?
Sometimes. I mean, you learn what issues that are more easily to talk about than others. But it's always a work in progress.
We've been looking at the polls. How much trouble are Barack Obama and the Democrats in right now?
Well, they could, if they allow this election to get away from them, and by that I mean if they don't bring it back to a central, relentless focus, they could be in some trouble. I mean, clearly this country is looking for change. Clearly it wants a race about people's lives and what's going on and how we can do that. And if the Obama campaign, if it doesn't get itself in a mode of real discipline and sort of focusing on those kind of issues, they could find themselves in a little bit of a hole here. Not that they can't dig it out by doing it better, but it seems to me to get too distracted too often.
Did the Democrats make a mistake by nominating Barack Obama?
Well, I think we made a mistake by nominating Barack Obama, but I think Barack Obama's campaign probably made a mistake by not being aggressive enough over the summer, not giving a sort of relentless focus to the economy and change, if you will. But these things are going to change around a pretty good bit here. I think it'll become clear to Senator Obama's campaign that they don't need to be in the weeds. They need to get right out in the middle of the playing field here. I think they will.
Well, Hillary Clinton, who you supported, intimated during the primary that Obama didn't have the necessary experience to be commander-in-chief and to answer that phone call at 3 a.m. The argument has been picked up by the Republicans. Do you think it will be a winning argument for them?
Well, if he's not ready to pick up the phone, when would Sarah Palin be ready to pick up the phone? I mean, look, everybody says things in a primary, okay? You go back and Lyndon Johnson ran against John Kennedy, all right? It's the same thing. George H.W. Bush said it was voodoo economics, same thing. The truth of the matter is that you're always going to have this kind of thing. I think Obama's done like something like 25 debates. He's been 3 years on the Foreign Relations Committee. He's done every kind of interview that you can do. I think he's perfectly capable of doing that. I think that Senator Clinton's ad was that she would have been better prepared to do that, which I think is probably some legitimacy to that.
Right now, McCain and Palin are drawing thousands of enthusiastic people on the campaign trail in these outdoor rallies. Do you think she's a game changer for him?
She hasn't been weaned from the teleprompter yet. And her one extemporaneous remark was illustrative of the fact that she didn't really understand the housing market. So it's we'll have to wait and see. But right now, we don't know because she's never had to answer a question, which is kind of remarkable. But we'll soon know.
Personally, do you think Obama made a mistake by not putting Hillary Clinton in the vice presidential slot?
Yeah, I think he should have. I mean, I think, but I'm not. It's not my choice, but I think would have been my own view is that she would have been. You know, I thought she was uniquely qualified to be president, so obviously I thought she'd have been uniquely qualified and ready to be vice president. I thought it would have brought a ton of energy, but that's not the choice that he made. And he's my party's nominee, so I'm for him anyway.
McCain says Obama will raise taxes and make the economy even worse. He denies it. Who's winning that argument right now?
Well, I have a kind of contest going. I defy anybody to tell me any gauge of economic performance other than a very slight difference in inflation that Republicans have been better on Democrats. John McCain said that he and George W. Bush agreed on every big issue. I have no idea how he's going to make the economy any stronger. And one of my favorite statistics is that since World War II, the Democrats have been in control of the presidency for, I think it's 24 years, and the Republicans have been in control for 36. They've created $38 million jobs. Democrats have created $58 million. And Democrats just need to remind people of what economic performance has been under them.
McCain and Palin are trying to brand themselves as mavericks, almost as if there isn't a little R next to their names.
Right.
Have they successfully appropriated the will of change?
If you're willing to say that I was against the bridge to nowhere when you were for the bridge to nowhere, or you're against earmarks when you got $27 million for your own town, and you have the sort of drumbeat behind you, you might be able to get away with it for a little while, but presumably these questions are going to come up and be answered when she gets, again, she's not weaned from the teleprompter yet.
Every 4 years, James, the Republicans turn the presidential election into a culture war, painting their opponents as effete, out of touch, unpatriotic.
Right.
They're doing it again, and they seem to be succeeding.
Well, for now, and that's because Democrats allow that to happen. And Obama is now chasing something down about us all today that is, well, he said it was lipstick on a pig, and they find that offensive. Every day, Republican strategists get up and they say, what can we do today to distract people from, when they think about this election, to think about what's happened to the health care, what's happened to energy costs, what's happened to the deficit, the fact that our suicide rates among our soldiers is now higher than the general population, given the fact that our currency is weak. What is it that we can do today to distract people from that? And as long as we continue to allow them to do that, then we're going to continue to see the same result. My hope is when the Obama campaign gets up in the morning, they say, what is it that we can do today to remind people what's happened to their lives and why change in Washington is essential if we want to get this country rolling again.
How much has Obama been hurt by his longtime association with his former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, and the loose association with former Weather Underground member, William Ayers?
Well, I mean, everybody knows, but it's all been out there. I think he resigned from the church, which is what he should do. And loose association, I think he said he was 8 years old when Ayers did whatever he did. And I don't know.
America is still, in a lot of ways, a racist country. Do you think it's really possible for a black man from the south side of Chicago with a Muslim name to be elected president in these times?
I think it's more possible than a Republican after a single party has taken this country and taken, $5 trillion surplus and turned it around, lost the average family's experienced something like a $2,000 loss in real income. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know, and I'm not prepared to say it's a racist country. I am prepared to say that obviously that people in America that have less than enlightened racial views, but I don't want to call this a racist country. Yeah, I think he can win. I think the country doesn't want to have another Republican around.
Does Obama lack a killer instinct on the campaign trail?
Might, we'll have to wait and see.
You wonder if he's punching back hard enough.
Right, that's to be determined.
What do the two of them, Obama and Joe Biden, have to do to win this election?
They have to remind people of what's happened to their lives. They have to show people that they have a deep, deep, fervent commitment to change. If Barack Obama accepted the status quo, accepted what reality was, reality is that a black male in this country born a teenage mother, that's not a good reality. He fought all of his life to make his way, And he's got to tell people that he has that same passion about changing America. And Joe Biden's got to do that.
How do you feel right now? Who do you think will win, and what demographic groups and states are going to determine that answer?
I still think Obama's going to win. But he's not going to do it with a campaign that allows itself to get distracted. I think the demographics of this election, are going to play out slightly different. I think we're going to have a little bit greater contribution of younger voters. I think that the areas that Obama, among the demographics that he's stronger, there's more upside for turnout than he is among the demographics that McCain is stronger. And I also think some of these registration numbers have been pretty impressive for Democrats. So I'm optimistic. I remain optimistic.
What states do you think it's going to come down to?
Well, Wisconsin will be one of them. I mean, if he doesn't win Wisconsin, he can't win.
James Carville recorded the day before yesterday, if he doesn't win Wisconsin, he's not going to win. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. That's one half of our interview with James Carville and Mary Madeline. We'll hear from Mary during the second half of our show. A reminder, both of them at the Grand Theater, the George L. Reuter Forum, a week from today. Tickets still available at 842-0988. Analysis from Local Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley and local Republican Kevin Hermaning. To both of you, what I got out of this was him saying that the Republicans are trying to distract the voters with personality issues, and Obama will not win unless he gets the conversation back to what Carville calls the issues. Christine, we'll start with you.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, from the perspective of someone who has followed this race very closely, and from the perspective of being a woman who deals with people who have economic issues every single day, and I have for the past 30 years, there is no question in my mind that people are sick of these distractions. If I sit here today and say, you guys better look out, I'm wearing lipstick, is that going to be a distraction for this whole interview? You know, we've got to talk about what's important. What's important is the economy. What's important is the war. What's important is health care and energy. We absolutely have to get away from these distractions, and I believe clearly that the campaign will do so and recognize the need to do so. This isn't a situation where we have the opportunity to play around with this. This is a campaign that is really, really important to people's lives. And when we talk now, the Republicans seem to have changed the topic and tried to take over the change line. It's like they have change envy, because they are not the party of change. And I think when I talk to my clients and people that I know and people that I meet along the way and in the campaign, I know that people say, you know, how can they talk about change when they are representing the exact same policies that we've been under for the last 8 years?
Kevin,
if they don't have any shame.
Kevin, do the Republicans not have any shame, and do they have change envy?
Well, I don't think so, actually. It's interesting, the four issues being the economy, the war, energy, and health care that Christine mentioned, most of the polls actually show the Republicans gaining traction on those issues. Certainly, John McCain's campaign has picked up a lot of traction. Clearly, the energy issue and the immigration issues have been dogging the McCain campaign for most of the primary process and during the summer. But clearly, especially on energy, which is one of the top three issues right now among most voters in almost all of the polls, Sarah Palin brings a lot of strength and, I think, intellectual girth to that particular topic.
What do both of you think about the tone of this campaign? Because that was, I think, underlying a lot of what Carville was complaining about. Here we have Barack Obama making the lipstick on a pig remark. There's an ad the next day basically accusing him of calling Sarah Palin a pig, which the Obama campaign disavowed. There's another ad against him talking about how he wants to teach sex education to kindergarten students. There's an ad against Sarah Palin today, a very graphic ad from the Defenders of Wildlife showing her government shooting wolves from helicopters. There's an ad against McCain right now mocking, according to his supporters, his age and his computer skills. What do both of you think of the tenor of the campaign and the fact that this is the stuff we're talking about right now?
Well, you know, Glenn, you know, I think that you're guilty of raising all these distractions instead of spending this hour or these few minutes we have talking about what's important to people. You know, when I hear a comment like Sarah Palin brings intellectual girth to this ticket, it makes me really pause and wonder if I'm living in an alternate reality. I mean, what we're dealing with here is a woman who has, you know, who has no experience. I don't want to get into Sarah Palin. There's a lot we can talk about with regard to her and her differences from some of the things that made people want to go to John McCain, you know, his anti-earmark stance. And now we've got a woman whose state is the top in the nation. When we compare Arizona to Alaska, Arizona gets $18 per capita. Alaska gets $506, according to Taxpayers for Common Sense. Now, you know, when we talk about a record, we have a record with Sarah Palin. What does she bring to the campaign? A lot of confusion in my opinion.
Christine,
you know,
first of all, as a governor of Alaska.
If we look at issues about what's important to women, let's talk about what's important to women. But it certainly isn't, Glenn, about talking about lipstick on a pig.
Kevin, if you could respond.
I was just going to say that, first of all, no governors are involved in appropriating earmarks to any state, and their own state or a different one. Your good friend, Christine, of course, Dave Obey, is the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee that appropriates all of the earmarks. So the reality is that the U.S. senators and the House member from Alaska are the ones who brought those earmarks to their state. And I do believe, as a matter of fact, that both John McCain and Sarah Palin are going to go to Washington, should they have the honor of being elected, and they're going to take the issue of earmarks head on. And I do actually believe that the president would veto any bill that has a particular earmark in it.
Well, you know, I think we have to look at a record then. And if we talk about earmarks, you know, we talk about what's good for your area and what projects are good for the area, things in our community. I think you well know, including monies for our schools, the health, the North Central Technical College. But when we look at what's gone on in Alaska, we've got Sarah Palin last year, between 2007 and 2008, according to Citizens Against Government Waste, asked for almost $600 million in pork barrel projects, I mean, from her office. So we have to talk about, okay, we've got McCain saying he doesn't believe in earmarks, and then we've got Sarah Palin grabbing as much money for her state as she can, and then taking this bridge to nowhere where she said, she's got this famous comment, I said no thanks. Well, she said no thanks, but she kept the money.
The next thing you're going to do is accuse the governor from Alaska of cutting childhood education, when in fact that was the prior governor's budget.
I'm not accusing her of anything. I'm not changing the subject. Let's talk about this bridge to nowhere, which became a bridge to rebate for Alaskan citizens who now each got $3,200 after taking, you know, $200 million of federal money for a bridge they didn't build and keeping it.
Kevin,
and
you got to hold it,
Alaska,
Christine.
Under her rule,
hold it.
Gets $3,200 in a rebate.
I thought this was
That's
a race between Senators John McCain and Barack Obama.
Well,
and in fact, you're sounding an awful lot.
I'm going to have to interrupt both of you. We have a news break that we have to take. Christine Bramer-Moogley, Kevin Hermaning, this is Route 51. We'll be back with Mary Madeline and your phone calls right after this break for news.
That narrows the program.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Mineral Point, nestled in the hills of southwestern Wisconsin, where 19th century stone buildings are now artist studios, galleries, shops, restaurants, B&Bs, a center for arts education, and more. MineralPoint.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. Our subject today, presidential politics, with James Carville and Mary Madeline, the political odd couple. They will be appearing a week from tonight in the Grand Theater in Wausau. It's the George L. Reuter Forum. It's a Wisconsin Public Radio-sponsored event, and tickets are still available at 842-0988. That's 842-0988. We heard from James Carville in the last half hour. We're going to be hearing from Mary Madeline shortly. We will also be hearing from Kevin Hermaning, the former chair of the Marathon County Republican Party, a McCain supporter, and Christine Bramer-Moogley, a delegate to the Democratic Convention in Denver and an Obama supporter. We want to hear from you, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. This program, Christine and Kevin, was originally scheduled for yesterday. Both candidates took a break from partisan politics because of September 11th. We took a break, too. And there was a forum last night on national service. I'm wondering if either of you saw it. Both McCain and Obama were there.
Yes, I'm at a seminar, but I had the opportunity to see it last night, and I thought it was one of the most thoughtful, well-covered events of the campaign. We actually got a chance to see these candidates for who they were, and it was a wonderful way to hear them unfiltered. I thought it was great.
I think Mario Cuomo and Newt Gingrich were calling on the candidates to have these kinds of town hall, sit-down, non-debate and confrontational type forums at great length. And, of course, that was rejected by and large as far as the media was concerned.
It was quite impressive. It was quite impressive to see the two of them together at Ground Zero. But today we are back to partisan politics as usual. We're going to hear from Mary Madeline in just a minute, but right now I want to go to the phone lines. We have Randy in Rice Lake here on Route 51. Hello, Randy.
Hello.
Your comment or question, please.
Well, I just have a comment. I would like to see him talk about the issues. I agree with both guests. and get rid of this bickering stuff. I think when we take a look at what I'm in, you know, what I'm concerned about is what's going to happen to my kids' inheritance, and how are my taxes going to be raised, and how are my tax dollars going to be used and spent. And I don't hear any of that on either side. I hear Senator Obama. I don't see it changing him either. I see the same old thing. I mean, he gave earmarks to his wife's employer, $1 million. I mean, to me, he's as much as lipstick on the pig as anybody.
And how about McCain, Randy?
The same thing. Let's get down and start talking about how it's going to apply to Main Street America.
Do you know who you're going to vote for?
Well, to be honest with you, I was not excited about McCain, not excited about Obama. You know, Palin does bring a little bit of excitement to the mix, and I'm waiting to see how she plays out.
Kevin, Christine, any questions or reaction to Randy?
I guess I'd like to react to that. I think, you know, if we talk about earmarks, it's the same thing we talked about before. You can criticize Congressman Obie for bringing an earmark to WASA to help build the North Central Technical College. You can criticize Senator Obama for giving an earmark to the University of Chicago. But you have to think about, what are these earmarks for? It's federal dollars coming in to serve our communities. An earmark isn't a bad word. An earmark is money. It's federal dollars that come to serve us. So I think you got to be careful when you talk about earmarks. They're not all bad. You have to look at what they are in relationship and in proportion to the community they serve and what they're for.
Christine, you and I both know that there is absolutely no value to studying whether or not the snail is damaging our environment. And those are the types of earmarks that most people are criticizing, including Citizens Against Government Waste people like John McCain and Sarah Palin.
That's right.
We have not seen, we have not heard Congressman Obie or certainly Senator Obama criticize those kinds of earmarks. That's what we're talking about.
Well, of course they criticize those kinds of earmarks. And I think this caller, Randy,
then why are they voting for them?
I think he's
John
right.
John McCain doesn't.
That, you know, I think he's right when we talk about, let's talk about issues. I don't think people realize, you know, that some of the record here, we don't talk about this issue of pay equity. You know, I got together with a bunch of women in WASA the other night. We were talking about Fair Pay Restoration Act that people don't even know about because the campaign has been drowned down by talk about lipstick. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Senator Obama's support for that and the fact that Senator McCain voted against it three times. Women aren't aware of that.
They have to
know what these issues are, and let's talk about them.
Randy, thanks for the phone call. We're going to talk about a lot of issues. We do want to get to Mary Madeline, and we will do that right after this. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
I'm Glenn Mulbert, Christine Bremer-Moogley, Kevin Hermaning joining us. We heard from James Carville, who will be appearing at the Reuter Forum next Friday with Mary Madeline. I'm going to get another phone number out here, 842-0988, if you're interested in getting tickets. And we are going to hear from Mary Madeline right now, the other half of The Odd Couple. And we started her segment the same way we started with James. How do they keep their marriage together? How do you and James keep your marriage strong when you don't agree on anything politically and you're both so passionate about politics?
Well, how do we do it? We do it episodically, I guess, would be the honest answer. We're coming up on our 15th anniversary, and some years are harder than others. Some issues are more difficult than others.
Is every 4 years harder than others?
Midterms aren't always a piece of cake. We've had some rough midterms. And, you know, the problem here is, you can't win for losing. Because when you do win, for instance, and we took over the House in 94, then I felt bad for him. So when I win, I feel bad for him. And when I lose, I feel bad for me. And I don't know which feels worse. But
Do you talk about politics when you're at home?
Well, we talk about, sure. I mean, who could not talk about this cycle as long as you don't personalize it? And as it turns out, I'm from Chicago, and I understand the whole Obama phenomenon. It's a national phenomenon, but I understand the whole Chicago part of it. He likes John McCain. He knows John McCain. And Sarah Palin's just got everybody by the collar. So,
do you think Sarah Palin is going to be a game changer for John McCain?
She has been a game changer, and in 30 years of doing this, it has never been, I've never witnessed this, and I'm trying to think of any time in history where a vice president has completely transformed a race. We're seeing evidence this week that the down ticket races, which the party had been so forlorn about, are all energized by this.
I think it's going to help them in Congress and the Senate.
Yeah, those other races that I don't know that we'll be able to make up the difference in the House, but we're not certainly not going to get the shellacking that everyone anticipated we were. And she's just energized people. They're not. I just saw a poll, 9 out of 10 people are watching this race, and 5 out of 10 are closely watching it. Those are unprecedented numbers.
Let me read from some of the critics of her. Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, first of all, he said the press, and I know you're going to disagree with this, he says they've been too lenient on Sarah Palin. He says there's a double standard. He says if he'd done as governor what she did in the Troopergate scandal, the press would be calling for his impeachment. Now, here's a quote. Palin says she's a reformer and against earmarks. No, she isn't. When she was mayor, she hired a lobbyist to get earmarks. She was against the Bridge to Nowhere. No, she wasn't. She was for the Bridge to Nowhere first, and when it was canceled, she kept the money. She calls herself a budget balancer, but she left the town in greater debt than when she was mayor, so she's not a budget balancer. Her critics are calling Sarah Palin a liar. Are they right?
No, well, I'm not going to take those individually. They're all false. They've all been proved to be false. And I know what the Democrats are doing because Obama has fallen so far so fast in a race that they thought was he was unbeatable. They're doing what they do quite well, which is attack, 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 go negative. And the way they're doing that with her is to try to kill the messenger. They can't notice they're not really talking about the message of the whole ticket. So all of those things are demonstrably false, but they're certainly not the worst things that the attacks have come. This week they've tried to portray her as a religious kook, as a book banner, et cetera, and flat-out lies.
Mary, you mentioned negativity. Wouldn't you agree that it goes on both sides? Let me quote a colleague of yours from your days at CNN, Paul DeGala, who was talking about the Republican convention. He says the party of Reagan, sunny optimism, criticism offered in folksy witticisms and the shake of a head, is gone. This is the party of Giuliani and Palin, sarcastic, sneering, snotty, and snide. I don't know why, but meanness plays with the Republican base.
You know, Paul is a good friend of mine. He's not a colleague. We're not on the same side. He is left of left, and he is.
I met a colleague in the sense that you're both political analysts.
He's one of the premier snide, sarcastic, snarky commentators. That's kind of his signature. So what they don't like and what they're responding to is that she was able to be, her points were so well presented and delivered that people heard them and they understand what she's saying, and the essence of it being that on the experience issue, which is a real issue for people relative to Barack Obama, they were making fun of her being a mayor, and so she said the best way to get a point across is to do it with a smile on your face. Well, maybe they don't like my being a mayor. Maybe they don't understand what it is. It's kind of like a community organizer, except you have real responsibilities. Well, they don't like that.
Well, Mary, you're from you're from Chicago. Why the put down of community organizers? These are people. You know, I'm not just talking about Barack Obama, but people on the South Side who are working to try to improve the lives of in some cases millions of people who are trapped in abject poverty.
That was
not
a twist, and I take complete objection and issue with your characterization of that, which I recognize is the way they're characterizing it. She was responding to their putting her down as a mayor, whom my husband infamously said, went on TV and said and held up a picture of the mayor's office and said it looks like a bait shop, thereby insulting small towns, mayors, and fishermen, all in one fell swoop. You know, there are
We do have a lot of fishermen in Wisconsin.
And it just was such a patronizing, insulting thing to say.
Let's talk about the top of the ticket for a second here. Barack Obama says John McCain can't call himself an agent of change because he's voted with George W. Bush 91% of the time.
Well, Barack Obama has voted with his party 97% of the time. They cannot, after they've used John McCain, the Democratic Party has used John McCain as a cudgel to beat George Bush for about 7 years, And he fought us on a lot of things, so much so that, as we all remember, Kerry reached out for it to put him on the ticket in 04, on the Democratic ticket.
At the convention, Barack Obama made a comment calling into question John McCain's temperament and judgment. And that's been amplified by a number of Democrats, including Senator Barbara Boxer and Dick Durbin. They both say they've seen him in uncontrolled, profanity-laced outbursts that cast doubt on whether he's got the emotional stability to be commander-in-chief. Some of those have been documented, and I'm asking you to react to their comments and the suggestion that he might have an anger management problem.
Well, I have two reactions. The first is to go back to my friend, Paul Begala, talking about meanness and say, if the shoe fits. I mean, what the Democrats have been doing, almost literally, but certainly in a large, loud whisper campaign, is he's crazy and he's old, and they do this all the time. It's a horrific and ugly charge. The older I get, the younger he looks, and when I see his mother at 96 running around the globe, as she still does, with her twin sister, who's obviously 96, they got some solid genes there. Yes, I have seen John exhibit great passion and a hearty articulation of that when he cares about an issue, and I've been on the other side of it. I would say in no case was it ever uncontrolled, but he knows, he has the vocabulary and the presentation of the Navy pilot that he was, and he has that kind of instinct. But it's never uncontrollable, and the upshot of that passion is that he's gotten a lot done in his years in service to this country. And for his colleagues to say things like that, all of the Democrats to say that, I know some Republicans who have been lashed at were taken out of context and put in a big thumb-sucking story in the Washington Post, all of whom came back and said, this is a misrepresentation of what I said. Look, I've been there, I've seen it, I've been on the other side of it, it's never been out of control, and that's the kind of guy you want and the kind of passion you want, to use a cliche of this campaign, but it happens to be true in his case, fighting for you. When he fights for you, he's fighting.
Who's going to win, Mary? How close will it be, and in what states is this going to be decided?
Well, that's a beautiful question and the right one to ask, and the answer is nobody knows. But what's so incredible about it is it was, from the perspective of the Democratic Party, from day one, absolutely impossible for the Republicans to win. The appearance and performance and positions of McCain and Palin have brought this to a dead, even race, and I think it's just going to go down to the wire. And as is always the case, although there's been some demographic and geographic shifts, the same kind of swing states will be swing states, and the electoral map right now is 193-183 to Obama, but with a lot of toss-up states, again, including Wisconsin.
That's Mary Madeline. She'll be appearing with James Carville a week from tonight at the Grand Theater at the Reuter Forum. Wisconsin Public Radio is a sponsor of that event. We hope to see you there. And we have analysis from Kevin Hermaning and Christine Bremer-Moogley. Kevin, I'll go with you this time. Your reaction to what Mary just said.
Well, first of all, I was interested to hear her talk about the language of a sailor. And the question about his temperament, he could almost qualify to be a congressman from Wausau at that rate, the meanest man in Congress, according to the survey of congressional staffers. But the reality is that some of us believe that John McCain is best positioned to end the war with dignity and victory and only then bring the troops home, that John McCain and Sarah Palin are best positioned to keep individual and small business tax levels at their current levels, And that really ending the culture of go along to get along that has dominated the House and the fighting and the earmark approach that we've talked about in our last segment. And really, I mean, this is what the election is going to turn on. It's not going to turn on personalities like the Democrats are talking about. It's going to turn on the issues which do favor the Republicans.
But weren't they packaging John McCain's personality at the Republican convention? All they talked about was his experience as a POW
No, that's not all they talked about. It's true, they talked about his character, but if you want to talk about packaging, I don't think we really want to talk about the Greek temple that was set up in Mile High Stadium.
Christine, it's your turn.
Or maybe we do.
Well, I, you know, those are the kind of snarky comments that kind of everybody goes off on, and I don't think that's very nice. And I think we have to, I was there, and I can tell you that it wasn't about columns. It was about the message, and it was about the excitement that people knew change was coming. You know, and I have to take umbrage to your comment about Dave Obey being the meanest man in Congress. Obviously, I
didn't
say
he was, Christine.
I know you're saying that others
say that about him. I quoted the members of the congressional
staff. This is a man who has provided funding for our schools, for uninsured kids, for health care and dental care, so I take umbrage at that. But let's talk about where we're going with this thing and what some of the things that Mary Madeline said. You know, this speech that Sarah Palin gave, it was really well delivered. You know, there is no question. I enjoyed watching it. I love watching a great performance. But when you get behind it, we find out that the speech was written by a guy that writes all the speeches for President Bush, and it was just changed for her at the last minute when she added in her story. So, you know, it was a message that was already crafted, and it wasn't about Sarah Palin. It was about getting someone up who looks different. Because, as I said, this is all about change envy.
James,
it's not changing the story. When women and people that are interested in this election look at her record and look at the record of John McCain with regard to families and children and things that are important to the economy, they're going to get involved in this campaign and support Barack Obama.
James Carville said Sarah Palin hasn't been weaned from the teleprompter yet. She did do a one-on-one interview with Charlie Gibson of ABC. Your reactions to that, did either of you see it?
I did, and actually it lasted more than an hour and a half, and it's being shown. It was shown last night. It was shown this morning. It'll be on 2020, a full hour. Charlie Gibson, I think, basically had his head handed to him, just like Joe Biden's going to have his handed to him in the VP debate.
Christine,
well,
your reaction.
You're in the great minority on that. One thing I have to say, one thing I have to say about all of this, though, about Sarah Palin, good for us women that we have someone out there, and good for us women that finally on the national stage they're paying attention to us and our issues. So that's the good part about all this. But what I have to say from my view of watching her performance was it appeared to me that even off script she was a good student and she had memorized her lines and she didn't get them all straight, and I think that there's going to be some people that really criticize what she had to say. But you know,
Christine, let me break in here.
I feel sorry for her to have to learn as much as she has to learn for someone who's only been to Mexico and Canada.
Christine, one of the things that she said when she was talking to Charlie Gibson was that we may have to have a war with Russia. Russia has thousands of thermonuclear weapons. Do you think that's a comment that she might later regret having made?
Well, for someone that, you know, in a few months ago said she didn't know what the vice president even did, and for someone that has really, on her own admission, no foreign policy experience at all, I think it's extremely dangerous for someone who could be our vice president to make such comments.
Both of you are completely irresponsible. You have taken her comments totally out of context. What she said was that the United States, as a signatory to the NATO convention, basically would have to, or the treaty, excuse me, would have to step in along with all of the other NATO countries in defending anybody attacked by Russia if they themselves, like Georgia, was eventually admitted into NATO. That's what her comment was about. And of course it would be our responsibility if we're going to be a member of NATO. Clearly, this election is going to turn on some of the things that I think most people are looking at, and that is experience, maturity, judgment, and accomplishment. And the scale is widely tipped in John McCain and Sarah Palin's favor when those four things are considered.
We've only got a minute left, so you've each got 30 seconds to talk about who of these two candidates is better on the economy.
Want me to go first?
I guess.
Okay. Well, you know, I think if we look at the last 46 years, the Republicans like to claim the mantle of being the party that has brought our country economic prosperity. But if you look at the facts, you know, we'll look at 46 years of income growth has been three times greater under Democrats than under Republicans. Job growth four times greater. Since 1961, the federal budget has been balanced five times every time under a Democratic president. You know, we have to look at the facts. The facts are we've got 8 years of misery. Look at where our country is. And I think if we look at where our country is and where people are standing in their lives today, there is no doubt that we need change, and we need real change, not someone who's going to claim change by bringing in a candidate that we don't even know who she is from somewhere, we don't know what she's done, but someone who is going to really make change and who has been tested over 18 months on the campaign trail and
Kevin,
has been tested in his life in public.
Christine, I got to cut you off. Kevin, you got the last word.
Well, it just seems to me that John McCain is much better positioned to take the mantle of change to Washington because he's actually demonstrated it. He has challenged the party, the party that he's a member of. He's challenged the status quo. And when it comes to economic policy, clearly the American people, by and large, do continue to support a lower tax burden on them and on their small business communities. And I think that's ultimately, on the economic front, the winning ticket.
We've got to wrap things up. I want to thank both of you, Kevin Hermaning, former chair of the Marathon County Republican Party, Christine Bramer-Moogley, a Democratic convention delegate. Thanks also to both James Carville and Mary Madeline for making their time available. A reminder, Wisconsin Public Radio is a sponsor of the George Reuter Forum in Wausau a week from tonight, Friday, September 19th. Carville and Madeline together at the Grand Theater. Tickets at 842-0988. Thanks to today's on-air producer, Kelson Quisler, our executive producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Thanks for riding with us today. I'm Glenn Moberg. Until next week, we're heading out of town.